It is a joy to be a part of your family. And Father, even though we live in difficult and challenging times, we are also encouraged by that very fact. Your word is being fulfilled. Your prophecies are coming true, as they always do. And we know that things are going to get really dark here before the second coming. We praise you for the truth, though, that we will be taken out in the rapture before that seven-year tribulation begins. In the meantime, though, we can go through difficult times, but in the midst of them, we have joy inside, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. We read your word and are encouraged, challenged, convicted, the things we need. And Father, we want our response to be what was the first song we sang. We say yes to everything you ask of us, everything you command. It is our desire to be yours fully every day, to walk with that armor on that we were talking about in Ephesians, to be a people that are in the battle. We don't shy from it. We run to it. And we praise you for the joy and the privilege to do so. We thank you that we have Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, the one who is our model, the one who showed how we should live. He saved us, gave us new life by the Holy Spirit, and he showed us by the way he lived, the way we are to live. And so we pray that we will be more like him today as a result of having been here. Again, we pray, please bless this hour. Thank you that you are with us. Bless Pastor as he preaches the word. We pray that all that is done will honor you, glorify you, and draw us closer to you and to one another. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
In Acts chapter 13. Oh, I wanted to read this letter. I had laid it up here and then forgot about it. Now we'll look at Acts chapter 13, the beginning of the missionary movement. Paul going out for the first time, Paul and Barnabas, and this is an exciting time, beginning a new epoch in the Christian church. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John as their assistant. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, it means the enlightened one, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whoever among you fears God, to you is the word of his salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophet. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word. How exciting it must have been for these missionaries to go out for the first time, to preach the word of God and to be filled with the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God working in them, to reach these people who had never heard the message before. How exciting it must have been. And Lord, we know today that there are missionaries out around the world that are proclaiming the word of God in one way or another, reaching people with the gospel. I read the letter this morning from the Bardens. They're able to reach people out there in Utah that have not had the truth. We pray that you would bless them and use them and meet their needs. Thank you for the camp. Thank you for all that they're doing there in reaching people with the gospel. And we pray that you'll bless this other ministry, the prison ministry, and the church work, and all that they're doing, that they might be able to get back into full swing again. And we pray that for ourselves. We pray that for all the churches, that we might once again be able to serve you fully and completely without all the restrictions that have been placed upon your people. Lord, help us. Guide us and lead us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. We pray for those who are ill today. We ask you to touch and strengthen each one and meet their needs. We pray for all of those who are serving you today, that you might truly reach out to the ends of the earth and bring many into the family of God, that we might see many coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer. How we praise you for your grace, your mercy, and your love to us. Lead us and guide us and help us today. May your holy will be done. We thank you for all your goodness. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Turn once again to Acts chapter 13. You know, in the book of Acts, we've been noticing for some time now that the way it's opening up more and more from the beginning. Back in Acts 1:8, Jesus said to go forth. Well, let me read that to you, make sure I get it right. Acts 1:8. All right. Excuse me. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we see as we open up the book of Acts, we started out in Jerusalem. This was the only place that the church existed at that time. And then as persecution came, they were spread out and went out into Judea and on out into Samaria. And now we find here in this chapter, these men are being chosen by the Holy Spirit to go and to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. So it's wonderful to see how God has worked in such a marvelous way to reach out to people. And this is the beginning of the missionary movement. As Paul and Barnabas are chosen. Notice it lists off these men. There were a number of other men there in the church. Now, this was at Antioch, actually. So they had already moved out to that extent. But now they're going to go out from there to proclaim the gospel in many other places. So this is the organized mission work, where it says, the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. You remember when Paul was first converted, the Lord told him that he had a special work for him to do, to reach out to the Gentiles. Whereas the other apostles would work primarily with the Jewish people, Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles. So here, the church at Antioch is now the center for sending out the missionaries to other places. The evangelistic work that's being done here, there were a number of qualified men that were able to preach and to spread the gospel there in the area. And it mentions these men from different places. So already the church had taken on somewhat of a broader view. It mentions Barnabas, who was from Cyprus. There was Simeon, called Niger, which Niger means black. So perhaps he was from Africa. And Lucius of Cyrene, that is in northern Africa. And Manion, it says he was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And we don't know exactly what that means. But they think perhaps he was a half-brother of Herod or something of that nature. Anyway, he was in the same household, it sounds like. Says here, one of my notes says, the foster brother of Herod. So at any rate, someone who had been close to the authorities. And God's working in all these different areas in these people's lives. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they were all working, doing their job, busy about God's business. And the Lord says, okay, separate me these two men. I have them. I've called them. These were called to go and proclaim the gospel to these Gentile people. So they separated them, and it says that they were sent forth, in verse 4, they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. So here, God is moving in a very real way. The church prayed with them. They worked together, and they prayed for them and supported them, supplied their needs, but they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the most important thing, is that God is the one who calls us to a particular work, right? And here it's very clear that he called both Paul and Barnabas to go forth and to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And they set out on their trip, and notice it says that they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. They departed unto Seleucia, which was up the port away from Antioch. Antioch was inland, and they came down to the shore there to Seleucia and set off on by ship and went over to Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, which was the home of Barnabas. And that's interesting. Barnabas probably had a special burden for his people. And so they started out there. They went to Cyprus and landed at the city of Salamis, which is on the one coast, and worked their way across to the other part of the island, which was Paphos, the main city where the government was located. Okay? It mentions here that also John Mark was with them as their helper, assistant. He was a relative of Barnabas. It's not quite sure whether he was a nephew or a cousin or something. But anyway, he was a close relative of Barnabas. And so they took him along to train him and to have him help them in the ministry. This was a part that Paul did often. He would take other people along with him and train them on the way, give them on-the-job training as they did the work. And that way multiplied the workers going out to the mission field. But we noticed that, here God is working, right? So who else is going to start working? It says here, as they got to Paphos, or to this place, yes, in verse 6, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found what? A certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Can you believe it? This guy's name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus. Son of Jesus. And then Paul says, hey, you're a child of the devil. Right? He goes on to say that here. This man withstood them, was causing problems and keeping the official from believing. Verse 7, it says there was a deputy, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, and he wanted to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say, right? So he called them in, and this other sorcerer was getting in the way. He was preventing him, contradicting what they were saying, seeking to turn him away from believing in Christ. And so Saul just lets him have it, so to speak, right? And he says, so Saul, in verse 9, filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, so this is God speaking. Set his eyes on him and he said, I love this. Oh, full of all subtlety, all mischief, you child of the devil, enemy of righteousness. How long will you cease before you cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And he struck him blind. Huh? It's for a season, right? And I think that's God is still giving this man a chance. He struck him, but he didn't do it permanently. His grace is still working here in behalf of this man. And he could still repent and come back to the Lord, or come to the Lord. But we don't know if he did or not, right? But we do see that the official, Sergius Paulus, believed when he saw what was happening, the power of God manifest and the message that was appealing to him, speaking to him about his need, he believed. And he became a Christian. So, it's wonderful to see that God is working here. It says he was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. The Lord sometimes can astonish us if we'll allow him to, right? And you don't really usually expect people to see God strike somebody blind, right? And yet he does sometimes. You remember Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus? What happened to him? He was knocked down and blinded for 3 days, right? And here, Saul is doing the same thing to this other man who was standing in the way of God's work. That's not a good idea for people to stand in the way of God's work. I've heard a lot of stories about that. Someone that opposed what God was doing. It just doesn't work out too well for them, usually. If God is really moving in their midst. So we find here this man is saved, and then they move on. And notice the difference here. Up until now, it's been talking about Barnabas and Saul. Down in verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. You see the difference here? Barnabas had been the one in charge. He's the one that was known to the apostles. He's the one they sent out. And he had been a Christian a long time. He had gone and gotten Paul to help him, right? But now we see that Paul comes to the forefront as the one that God has called to be the apostle, the leader. And now it's Paul and his company. And Barnabas, I believe, as far as I can tell, gladly accepts this and is willing to fit right in and continue doing the work of the Lord. But we do notice here, John Mark, left them there and returned to Jerusalem. Now, why? We don't know. We don't know exactly why he did. It could be that maybe he didn't like the idea of Paul being in charge. I don't know. It happened, it seems like it happened right at that time. And he left. Someone had said, well, we don't really know. Maybe he got homesick. He was a young fellow. And perhaps he wanted to go back home and change. The mission field just was too much for him. Because they were getting ready to go inland, you know. And it says, this place they were going to, Antioch in Pisidia, was a place that was hard to get to. I have it here. When they landed at Perga and planned to go inland to Antioch, John Mark decided to return home. Later, he refused to take him. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Anyway, he was talking about this place was hard to get to. It was upland, rough territory, and it was dangerous to go there. So this could have been another reason why he was reluctant to stay there and returned back to Jerusalem. At any rate, we know later on in life, he was restored to the ministry. John Mark is the one, of course, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, and an associate of Peter especially. But Paul says toward the ends of his life, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So, even though Mark failed, the Lord restored him to a place of useful service. That should be encouraging, right? Does that encourage you to think that even though you might fail in some area, that God is able to still use you? You know, he says if we fail, if we fall into some kind of sin, confess your sins and he'll forgive you, right? He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness and can still use you as a servant of God. And that's what he did with Mark. Mark was able later. Barnabas came along and took him with him on another missionary trip and continued on teaching him the ways of the Lord. So we find here, John goes back to Jerusalem and Paul and Barnabas go up to Antioch. They get there and we find them here. First of all, they came in verse 14, they came to Antioch and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So this was familiar territory for both of them, Jewish people, going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship the Lord and to have the service. So here they come, and they sat down and enjoying the service. They had the reading, it says, of the law and the prophets. That's the way the synagogue service goes. They have a reading from the books of Moses and then from the other prophets. And then they were asked by the ruler of the synagogue, if you have anything to say, say on. And so, of course, Paul, you know, stood up and he begins to tell them all about why they're there and the work that they are doing and who they represent. It says in verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, you that fear God. So there's two different groups of people, right? You've got the Jewish people, the worshiping there in the synagogue, and you've got those who fear God among the Gentiles that have come in, God-fearers that are there to hear more about the Jewish religion and how they could how they can know God. So these two groups are there. And Paul begins proclaiming his sermon. He is reaching these people here with the Word of God. Notice what he does. It's very similar to what we've already seen. Peter, back on the day of Pentecost, he does the same type of thing, going through the Scriptures. And we find Stephen, when he was proclaiming the message, went through the whole history of Israel in the Old Testament. And here we find Paul doing that as well. He hastens on to reach the point that he is reaching to emphasize. But anyway, he starts off here in verse 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. So he goes back to Abraham, right? And exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. So he comes on up, he chose our fathers, and then he gets to Egypt where they were there under Joseph and then taken into slavery. And then how he delivered them out. With a high arm, he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. God put up with the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. It's all of their bickering and complaining and all that they went through. But God delivered them. In verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land by lot. So he gave them this land. God sent them in. They destroyed the people of the land. And they took over. God gave them this country as he had promised to Abraham. So God kept his word. And then after that, they had the period of the judges. Go ahead. Anyway, the judges came along, and during that period of time, you remember what it says in the book of Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So this was kind of a chaotic time, wasn't it? You read there in the book of Judges, you find that the people kept falling away from God, worshiping idols and doing different things, and then God would send a deliverer, a judge. He would take over. And that happened over and over and over again. And it says, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. Now, that's a long time. That's twice as long as our nation has been here, isn't it? Something like that. 450 years until Samuel the prophet. You know, Samuel was the last of the prophets and the last of the judges. I mean, the last of the judges and the prophet as well. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave to them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. So for 40 years, Saul was the king, even though you know what kind of king he was. Kind of a reluctant one to begin with. And then later, he didn't want to give it up. You know, isn't that strange how people are? You know, you start off, well, I don't know if I really want to do this or not. I'm going to go hide in the haystack. He did that to begin with. But then once he got in there, he didn't want to lose his authority. And that's when he started chasing David. And then in verse 22, and when he had removed him, God removed Saul because of his disobedience. He raised up unto them David to be their king. to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So God really had his favorite, didn't he? David. Saul, he tolerated for a while, but David was the man that he sat on the throne. And then Paul just abruptly leaves David and goes directly to Jesus. Notice, this is where he was heading to begin with. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus, the Savior. All through the Old Testament we read the scriptures that we use so often at Christmas time and other times during the year as well. But Jesus, the Savior, came, didn't he? And this is where Paul wanted to get to and give him the gospel, the glad tidings, the good news that the Savior has come and that he'll make a difference in their lives as well as in the lives of the people of Israel. All of these people could benefit from the Lord Jesus. And then he talks about John the Baptist who came preaching and preaching the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So he's speaking about repentance. And then he says, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? Do you think I'm the Messiah? Do you think I'm the Christ? No, it's not me, but he is here. And I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I can't even stand up to him at all. The Lord Jesus is the Savior. John was a great servant of God. Jesus said he was the best that ever was up until that time. He said there was no man greater than John the Baptist, right? And yet he was a servant. And Jesus is the Savior. He's the one who saves us. There's no one else. You know, you can think of anybody that you want to think about in history or today, any other time. There's no one that compares to Jesus. He's in the class by himself, right? He's the Savior. We are his servants. And so we find here, it says down in verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. So here he is. The Savior has come. And he's available not only for Israel, but also for anyone else who will receive him, who will believe in him, who will put their faith and trust in him. He is the one who saves us. Notice verse 39, it says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. By Christ, by Jesus, anyone that believes is justified from all things. You know, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, right? We're set free. We belong to him. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we have salvation through him. We have justification. We're just as if we had never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. He promised justification, salvation. And he warns them of the judgment to come. Notice he says in verse 40, beware lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. You who despise and wander and perish. He says, I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So he's giving them the opportunity to believe and a warning if you do not believe, right? You turn away from Christ, what do you have? What is there? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything, right? He is the Savior, and we have to come to Him. And that's what he's saying here. And then this was the end of it. The Jews left the synagogue. I think they were kind of taken back about all this, right? What's he talking about, you know? And some of the others, the Gentiles, followed them around and said, you know, hey, we'd like to hear this again. Can you come back next Saturday? Next Sabbath, huh? We want to hear more. And they said, oh, yeah, definitely. And so when the next Sabbath, it says in verse 44, the whole city came together. They must have gotten the word around, hey, these men have come to town. They're talking about this man, Jesus, who's the Savior. Let's go find out what he's talking about. And so they all gathered together there at the synagogue. And what happens? Again, Satan sets forth his ugly head and contradicts them. The Jewish leaders are envious and they speak out against Paul and Barnabas. And so this is a deciding point. Notice it says in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He's speaking here to the Jewish people that refuse to accept the message, refuse to accept Jesus as their Savior. He says, okay, we have to preach the gospel first to the Jews, but then to the Gentiles. If you turn away from it, he says, I'll turn to those who will listen, that God might bring them to himself. And notice what it says in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, of course. They wanted to hear it. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now you can take that any kind of way you want to. I know there's a controversy here. But at any rate, we know that God is the Savior, is the one who saves us, right? And he is the one who has, in one way or another, has preordained those who are coming to Christ. And so, but it's all about faith. It's all about putting our faith and trust in Christ and in his salvation. And all those who received him were born again. They have eternal life. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Boy, the word spread. Wonderful. You know, that's what we always desire to see, is that people will listen, you know. People to hear what it says and to believe and to trust Christ and to see a great revival. And this is what happened here. And the word of the Lord was published. Now, Paul and Barnabas had to leave that area because of the dissension and controversy and all that. It says they shook off the dust of their feet and came to Iconium. So you don't want to hear the word here, we'll go someplace else. But they were able to give it out and carry out the work that God had given them to do. And I love this last verse. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy, you know, in spite of those who turned away from it, in spite of those who refused to hear. They were filled with joy because of what God was doing and for all those who had come to know the Lord as their Savior. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing to think that God was moving in such a mighty way. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Holy Spirit would just come, manifest Himself? Oh, my goodness. I don't think we could stand it. What do you think? We'd all just dry up and die, huh? What do you think? No. No, I know. The message that Paul preached, it's the same one that we need to hear today. Christ offers forgiveness of sin. He offers us justification by faith to all those who believe. And this is the message the missionaries are taking out to the ends of the earth. All of our missionaries that we pray for continually, those that we help, those that we that are out there doing the work and the desire to serve the Lord, they are spreading this message around the world, and we need to do our part in supporting them and helping them and encouraging them along the way. And we need to be witnesses for Him, even here where we are, that we might find those who are willing to listen to the Word of God. Father, we thank You for Your Word to our hearts this morning. We just praise You for what You are doing in our world today. We rejoice. We rejoice in Your goodness, in Your grace, in Your mercy. We rejoice in our salvation in Christ Jesus. And we pray that You'd help us, that we might be better servants, able to reach out to those around us and those that are far away. Lord, that we might have some influence on them as well. And that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified through it all. May Your holy, precious will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.